because now I think there may be some questions that may pop up from the interventions up to now. Any volunteers? Anything that is not clear up to now? Any upcoming question? So, Christine, maybe you can ask Nicole. And yeah, please introduce yourselves so that everyone knows what is your background, and try to be clear and concise with the question.
My name is Nicola Lenz. I'm the secretary of CENTIC 128. We have 11 subcommittees. We are working towards more than almost 20 harmonized standards. And I really appreciated the introduction from Mrs. Elena when she said we need to work together to improve the rate of citation. We need to overcome all these problems and work together to stress the issues. There was one specific issue that came up to me directly when I looked to the presentations. It was Mr. Nieto who said that when you have a delegated act for a threshold, you oblige your manufacturers to make a declaration. But in the past, we said you can also declare NPD. So when I say we declare NPD, so NPD now, it is no longer a declaration.
I will let Oscar, of course, reply, but I think we have to be pretty clear on the question. So up to now, you could eventually have thresholds in the standards. And under the CPR interpretation, it is always arguable because from the technical perspective, not following a threshold may not be technically sensible. So for those involved in standardization, I think this would be the logical approach. If you introduce a threshold in the standard, you would doubt why you would not follow. What Oscar highlighted is a different proposal in the drafts for new delegated acts, and to my knowledge, this one is not yet published. The Commission wants to say this is the threshold, and it's because it's a threshold, you already need to declare it. And this is in line with the provisions of the CPR. Oscar, maybe you want to add something?
The idea is if you have a threshold in your standard, in principle, you have the option of having NPD. And if the threshold was in previous versions, nothing is changing. And in the current situation of the citation, it's not a problem. But if you need to introduce a threshold, you will need to go through the delegated act process. And in the process, the Commission will write this article where they will say that for this essential characteristic, NPD is not allowed. And in practice, NPD was never a declaration. In practice, it's no performance determined. It's not declared, but I am allowed to do it. But if you go for a delegated act with a threshold, you will no longer have this possibility. But I don't think this is applicable to thresholds in your standards, which are already there. In this case, you could have it. But of course, once you have this delegated act in the official journal, it's a legal document, and then the industry is obliged to declare. But some people will say, no, you do a delegated act and it's solved. No, you need to also understand the implications of having a delegated act on this specific issue. That's why I highlighted.
Are there? Well, yeah, maybe starting from the right side. Yep, Christine.
Thank you. Alessandro Molli, working for BIBM, European Federation for Precast Concrete. Thank you, Oscar, for the presentation of the JIS Action 5, because as you mentioned, I think that what TCs are needing is really guidance. On the other hand, I think that this guidance need to be quite sure. That is to say, the TC, when applying this guidance, must be sure that then the standard can be approved. What is the level today of endorsement by the Commission of this guidance document? Do you know?
So I will start, and then maybe the others can also bring some additional information. I think we have to be, like you said, we need to be extremely careful. Elena raised it in her speech. This is a changing world. Myself personally, I've been involved in all this transition from CPD to CPR. So when I started in standardization, we were in a transition from the CPD to the CPR. I've seen things moving all these years, which means that what today is said, tomorrow is not true anymore. So this is true that we need to be extremely careful. What we did, which is Action 5, and I think this is also the benefit of all this exercise, is that we tried, from the standardization perspective, from all the different stakeholders' perspective, understand what are the Commission challenges. I think this is what we try to do. There are a lot of other documents that have been discussed that we said, there is no purpose in finalizing a document because we know that the Commission will never say yes to something like that, or because one of the stakeholders doesn't agree with a certain principle. So the ones that we are made available in the website at the moment are the ones that there was a consensus about the approach. Oscar presented the guidance or the document that the Commission presented with the reasons or the objectives or the ideals for harmonized standard. There are a lot of aspects. For instance, the case, I think the most evident case that we have today is how to deal with characteristics that have not been mandated. Eric referred to it. All standards have other aspects. Very often, if you take the dimensions out of the standard, how is the product being marked then without the dimensions? So it's a very naive and basic example. But if we follow strictly this approach, the Commission perspective is this one should also be left out. So, and from the standardization perspective up to now, we received a mandate. The mandate has never requested us to not include other aspects. Of course, now with this current legal perspective and all the current cases, the position goes in a different direction. But from the standardization perspective, it's still, I think, most of our, this is still our position. The standardization system has not done anything wrong. We have just been following instructions. Of course, the system has evolved in a certain direction, and we do see that there are different perspectives. But like Oscar highlighted, the standardization request is the only way to make it clear now what was not covered in the mandate in the past. So it is obvious that we will need to be extremely careful on how we promote the documents that have been achieved. We try, of course, to ensure that if we have a clear sign from the Commission that certain aspects are not acceptable, we will try to give this information. But this is a very fast evolving process, and things can change from one day to the other. That's why we are here. Today, we can only give you what we have achieved since 2016 up to now. Maybe tomorrow we'll have a different framework, but this is what we know today. I don't know, Oscar, Eric, if you want to add something.
We have more documents and that were not in the list and they are not in the website because at one moment the discussion with the Commission was clear that the document was not accepted or was not okay. So I think most of all the documents here have quite, I would say, the not the approval, but I think they are considered a positive document by the European Commission. But yes, as Gonzalo said, this is nothing is granted. So.
I think it's also important that the HAS consultants also, let's say, are made aware that these documents exist and that they're working in accordance with the same documents.
I think this is of course, a message that we have been passing through the SENS and ALEC, and of course highlighting to the Commission that they need to work in the same basis. And up to now, this is also something that we have been seeing, is that the basis is not always the same. And by at least everyone working in the same basis will solve half of the problems. I think this is a good recommendation as well. There were some questions here, I think. Here in the front. Wallis, please.
Thank you. Jakob Rørbæk from Velux Windows Manufacturer, active in TC33 and 350. Given the question just asked and this work and the Commission's, let's say, endorsement or acknowledgement, positive acknowledgements of the these documents, do you then see a window of opportunities of for the candidate standards that are already now waiting for citation to go through? Is there a window now before the revision of the CPR, before we have the 5 new standardization requests developed for these particular standards? I know you're not the commission, so you cannot answer in that way, but what is your interpretation of the situation?
Well, go ahead, Oscar.
I would say that hopefully, yes. So if we wait for the revision of the CPR, we need to wait for 6 years, and we are already delayed in a lot of our standards were updated and not cited, which means that we are already lacking the updates. So if the message of the Commission is we need to wait 5 years more, I think we cannot accept that. And that's why also I think Eric suggested the idea. So if you cannot wait, maybe the problem is, as an industry, you have a difficult situation. Either you remove a lot of interesting content from your standard to facilitate citation, or you are blocked. So I think in some cases, probably in most of the cases, if you can find this approach to split the standard, remove the parts that won't be relevant for the Commission, could be a solution. Because I think what we cannot do is just wait. This is something that we cannot afford. We had a joint declaration with FIEC in July saying exactly this. We cannot wait. So if you want to discuss the CPR revision, of course, we will be part of the discussion, but you cannot really plan your strategy with a deliverable in 5 years, because we are, the industry is working today in the market, and we are already out of date.
And I would say, well, I think we will try to get additional information during the day on your specific question, and I think this is also what we realized at the middle of GIS Action 5, because the interpretation could be that, are we discussing the future system, are we discussing the current system? And this was evident since the beginning. So GIS Action 5 is to deal with the CPR. CPR is what we have today with the current legal framework. We discussed in several occasions what is the legal framework coming with the Regulation 1025 on standardization, defining different levels for the standardization requests, CPR referring to mandates as the basis for the standard. So the overlap was already there. Coming with the current cases on dangerous substances, on the overall principle of the CPR or the CPD at the time, all those came into the discussion, and this was always clear in GIS Action 5. We are getting into a legal discussion that we cannot solve in GIS Action 5. The only thing we can try to do is being pragmatic and finding concrete solutions to deal with the system we have today. Because like Oscar said, a new system, we don't know what will be, and it will take time anyway to get there. So we need to think. And I think this is extremely important, and this is also how we are structuring the event today, is we will have time to think about the future in the afternoon, but until lunch we should focus on what are the concrete measures that we can take today to make the system work. And there are a few possibilities. Of course, we need to be smart, and we need to really identify them well, and we need to push also the European Commission to understand them, that they are important. There were some more questions, so one here just behind Elena, please.
Good morning. Colin Hinton, FEM Racking and Shelving. We're at the moment looking whether to put forward our European standards under TC344 to put forward to the European Commission to change them into harmonised standards under the CPR. My question is probably fairly basic in that, back to the actual CPR, if a manufacturer supplies and installs with no transaction or change of ownership between manufacturing and incorporation, does the CPR apply?
It's a good question.
Is it? Right.
Is it a question to me or to Oscar? Because
to anyone who can provide
the answer will
me
be different
with a simple answer.
Let's start with you, Eric. You just took it on board. Let's go ahead.
Well, I think it's clear that there are different interpretations, but there was a question in the European Parliament to which the European Commission answered that in those cases the CPR does not apply. So if let's say the economic actor collects components and they assemble them on site, they install them, then the CE marking does not apply. The reasoning behind this is, of course, that if it's immediately installed in a construction works, the product, which is not a product, but let's say the element, is not going to travel across Europe. So there's no need for CE marking, there's no benefit in CE marking whatsoever. But of course,
if you listen to Oscar, the answer is going to be different. Because, let's say, from a technical perspective, the expectation could be that both the elements installed by, let's say, a contractor or an installer, or the product placed onto the market by the manufacturer, that they have to respond to the same requirements. So it's clear that there is interpretation possible, and we only will have an answer if the European Court of Justice is going to rule on this problem. So we first need a court case to have a definite answer.
Oscar, yeah? It's out of my expertise because I'm not a lawyer and this is really a very legal issue. But what is for sure is that if you don't have CE marking, you are responsible of the performance. Because in practice, the value of the CE marking is that the manufacturer declares a performance and he is responsible of the performance. So if you buy without CE marking, you take this responsibility, and if there is a failure or if there is an issue, you will need to face the consequences. So that's always the issue, and this is very clear in the CPR. This is the only thing that I think is clear in the CPR. But there are a lot of controversy about this idea that you place a product on the market, doesn't trouble, because there are products with CE marking that are done made to measure, which is a bit strange situation. And they are CE mark, and the CE marking works, and the manufacturer takes the responsibility of the performance. So,
yeah, and I think maybe also we should keep in mind that if you open this question to the existing set of European harmonized standards, we may not then like the answer as well, because some of the products may end up in the same situation as well. Some are directly incorporated in works, and then the question has always been there. I think what is also important to clarify is what we need for the standard. So because if you need the standard, you have the system, so you can put the standard forward. In a way, CE marking or the harmonization is just a next step. And then there is a risk that in different member states they will consider different approaches, because this is a possibility that they could also say that this is a work, so you don't need to apply CE marking for construction works. So, but I would say this is... yeah, it's still on the same, Antonio. So just waiting for my colleague, and then we have another question on the left as well.
Thank you very much. Antonio Caballero Gonzalez from the European Calcium Silicate Producers Association and the European Motor Organization, and involved in CEN and convener of the mentioned CPI Working Group in Construction Products Europe. Although Oscar was smiling, I'm not going to comment on the application of the CPR to that particular case or not. What I would like to do is to come back to the origin of this or the intention of this meeting, said by Elena. We need commitment. We need to improve all of this. And unfortunately, I don't see Fulvia, so she's gone. Not too nice. Not very committed. But nonetheless, for me, the question is: how do we get this thing on the road? I'm not a fan of all the documents. I don't like them. They're not all perfect, but there are some very helpful, and we've discussed it. There is no guarantee that following the document is going to give you a beautiful citation in the OJ in the end. Still, I think as an industry and as NTCs, we ought to commit to applying these guidance. Now, being the average stupid guy, the thing I did while you were talking was enter GIS Action 5 into Google. Documents, download, don't find it. So how and where are you going to promote it, promote the document in a prominent manner?
So I think this is also some of the aspects we discussed in GIS Action 5. And I do agree with you. The motivation has never been, I would say, there is a lack of engagement in the process. I think organizations like CEN and CENELEC are committed, have been committed. We are trying to do our most. I think what you are saying is that if you Googled, keywords may not eventually appear, but the documents have been uploaded this week because, you know, some of them are being finalized. This is something that we will do now. From the CENELEC perspective, this is... we can guarantee you that we will communicate, we will share, and there is the idea to organize webinars and to promote the documents. I think I will link your question with what Alessio highlighted. We need to be extremely prudent in the way that you communicate the documents. I think going through the presentation of Oscar, maybe some of the people around this table never imagined that we have been discussing what we discussed in GXS Section 5. It goes really in depth. So we really were discussing standards in GXS Section 5 at a certain moment, because it was really going into the deep details of contents of standards. So, and this is extremely important to be careful how we... It's important to communicate. We need to make the correct framework. But I think it's also important, and I think this is something that somehow we got in GXS Section 5. We had some member states' involvement. So French authorities were involved. The German authorities have been committed in the discussion. The Belgian authorities as well. But I think this is still one of the challenges we have, not only in standardization, also in the implementation of the CPR, is there is a gap between the knowledge that exists at European level that we may be able to transfer to the standardization technical bodies and the input that comes from the national level. Because most of the things that we will promote, they will be challenged by all the national mirror committees. And I think this is perhaps one of the areas where we need to be creative to see how we can really change that. Because this is our biggest, I would say, this is what is slowing down also the process of evolving with the standards. Because when you go to the national discussions, people are still not getting the basics. And this is extremely important to address. So, Antonio, I think...
How do you ensure that I, as a convener of the working group, have this information on the top of my table?
So I think this is something we need to put in. I think this is for sure a recommendation that we can do from today. No, but I mean in terms of defining something more concrete. I think, you know, all our technical boards are at the moment discussing how we can improve the system. I think the documents are available. We can make or raise awareness of them, but I think there is also a need for the engagement of those working in the system. I think, you know, you can always push for people to use the information, but if they are not committed to understand it, they will also not use it. And I think this is why I am highlighting, because I do understand, you know, this has been a lengthy process. Like Oscar referred, for the AVCP document, it started in 2016. We are in 2019 at the very end. We got an answer last week. So it's obvious that the document could not be spread out through all the technical bodies because it has been a challenge to really get to this compromise to a certain extent. So it's duly noted, Oscar. I think this is something that we will ensure. We will make clear what are the documents available. The information is available in the website, and we will take it on board as well at the end. Padma?
Just one thing I wanted to mention to you, Antonio. I think Google works with an algorithm, and we just developed our pages last week. So, you know, by the time you see it as your first hit, I think some people will have to invest time in searching. That means you were not a good student. It's in the background material. No, jokes apart, you will see it soon appearing.
Oscar?
Thank you.
But you can do that. The next time somebody will send a document for the assessment of HAS consultants, you can say, oh, please check this before, and some people may.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a question at the left, and I think I can still have my one or two questions, depending how long we will take to answer.
The question will be a short one. We'll see how long the answer will take. Now, my name is Hans Weissenberg. I'm the General Secretary of ARGE, which is the European Association of Building Hardware Manufacturers. And many of our experts, they work in TC33 as well as in TC350. Now, what was quite a refreshing news for me, Eric Winnipenix, was when you referred to the fact that obviously we do have this conflict between the quite tight frame, what the CPR is giving us for our harmonized standards, and on the other hand, the standard content we would need for doing international or even global business. Now, our building hardware products, they travel quite a bit outside of Europe when we try to specify and promote them, and we've managed really to refer to standards in the Middle East, in the Far East, Southeast Asia. So therefore, I was quite startled when you said that in future one could imagine that there are two parts of a harmonized standard. And as I've said, it's refreshing news. My question, actually two questions. The first one is this just, I would say, a very startling idea, or has that found already some sounding board? Has there been discussions on this approach already? And question two is actually, how would this be referring to the CPR, to the legal framework the CPR is giving us? Would this be even possible, or would we just be blocked by the legal services of the European Commission?
Can I start?
Yeah, go ahead, Eric, please.
Probably Gonzalo is going to complete what I'm going to say, but we, as it was said this morning by Mrs. Raffaelli, we have a new European Commission. And one of the things that they are promoting is stronger Europe in the world. And so if you look at the big economic blocks in the world, they are promoting their own standards. They're trying to sell their own standards, because obviously for the manufacturers in those economic blocks, that facilitates trade. That's obvious. So I think it's something that we have to do. There is no alternative. If we want to have a big Europe in the world, we have to ensure that our standards are going to be useful outside of the European Union. It's something we have to do. So we have to find a solution, and I think we cannot wait. The idea of, let's say, having the next citation of standards and the new versions of standards in 5 or 10 years, sorry, but it in our world, this cannot happen. We have to find a solution. Working with two-part standards, I'm myself a TC chairman. I'm very reluctant to do this, because this is not a good solution. But I think we're coming up to a point where there is no alternative. The Commission just blocks everything if it's not 100% CPR product standard. So in that framework, in that situation, the only solution seems to be to have a separate part dealing with everything. Regulatory characteristics, so-called voluntary characteristics, terminology which is useful and used throughout the world for conformity assessment. Is it being used? Yes. There are one or two CENTCs working already with a product specification split in two, a harmonized part and a non-harmonized part. So there are examples. I'm very eager to see what the European Commission is going to say this afternoon. What is the, let's say, the perspective? When can we expect, when can we hope? Hope, I think, is not enough, Oscar, but when can we expect to see the next citation? What is the route towards that citation? Are we going to be able to continue working on the CPD mandates? And then we have to find a solution. We have to go ahead. We have to have guidance to make that second part, and we have to do it. Not tomorrow, today.
Yeah. I think there are already some standards already cited with different parts, and also there are some initiatives to go for this, and I think also CEN could play a role on this, facilitating or allowing this. I think it should be an option, but I think something very important, you need to be quite careful on how to do it. Because if you split the standards, but you refer in one to the other, or you split the information and then you refer to the CPR in the second part, you may be in trouble. And then you will have not only a problem with one standard, you will have problems with two standards. And I don't think it will work. So I think it's an option, but it needs to be properly done. And you need to be quite careful on what are you going to do. And in principle, if you remove all the regulatory requirements in the second part, it should not be even assessed by the European Commission. But of course, if you don't do it properly and they realize that there could be a conflict, then you are back in the discussion. And I don't think the Commission will be very happy with this. So.
Yeah, and I would say Nuno will also touch upon a little bit this in the afternoon, but it's important to have the Commission perspective. I think also just before moving to the next question, I think we do have cases today. So if we challenge this approach, we can also challenge what is cited in the official journal. This is always my perspective as well. But we'll come back to that later on. There was one question here, and then I will break for a coffee, because if not, we will be late.
Yeah, hello, please. I am Bernhard Schaffner. I'm secretary of TC336 dealing with bituminous binders. I have a question which is more or less the same than the previous, dealing with the two parts, two standards having the standard having two different parts. I think this could be a very good solution when starting from scratch, but how dealing with history, because we have some cited standards, likely only five, and in these standards, we have obviously characteristics that today do not correspond to essential characteristics. Mm-hmm. And they are in the DOP today, and so it's quite difficult how to deal with this history, because this creates a big mess, because if we want to revise them, that means that we will have characteristics that do not respond to essential characteristics and should not be there, but we cannot remove them because it would create a change regard to the DOP and the history. So how to get out of this mess?
Yeah, I would say if we go historically, this is always one of the points we highlighted and discussed. What is the basis today for the harmonization? Is the standard that is cited? I would say most of the cases the Commission will say no. There was a request, this should be the basis. If the standard today is not in line with the basis, that's opening another question, so why everything went smoothly until now. So what I would not like to do, Bernard, and I apologize for what I'm going to say, is we should not discuss a case-by-case basis here today. I think what we need to approach is we need to look into all the existing guidance, and maybe we'll end up in some complicated cases like what you just refer, because then you have the question, what is the basis today for the harmonized standard? Because it could be also that someone takes the initiative and says the standard today is not in line with the original objective. So this can also happen. So my suggestion is to really use the guidance we have, and the guidance is focusing the different points, and of course this is one of them. And then it could also be that the alternative is really pushing for a standardization request to reflect the new state of the art. Because this can also be the alternative. I think this is also what we have to approach, is that we need to really to assess the situation and see what is the best alternative for the different stakeholders and for the different sectors, because I'm pretty sure we will find different solutions for different sectors. I don't know if any of you wants to add something.
I think Nuno is going to, if he still dares to go onto the podium and risk losing his hair, he's going to add more words on it.
I think we see that Tapani has arrived, but I would perhaps close now for a coffee break.